Well, what a great joy it is. All those microphones seem to be taller than me. Just about to hit me on the nose. And how many of you, as a matter of interest, were here 2008 or before? Yes, quite a few. But the vast majority of you, of course, have come since, and it's great. It's great to see just how this church has developed over these years and how exciting it is for us to be back today sharing a little bit of time with you. Do you all understand? The English is Scottish. And we had a lot of teasing about that, of course, but I don't joke anymore. I've got over 70. No more humour. Fair enough. Are you understanding? You're understanding reasonably well? Good. We're going today to go back to a letter. A letter that was written by John. Now, John, by this time, most people think was older than me. I think probably 80-ish. And by the time he writes this letter, he needed to be helped to get back into the church at Ephesus where he was the pastor. I'm so glad I didn't need to be helped into the church this morning. We were able to walk. But I don't think John was really all that able to walk. Nor was he able to give long sermons. But he could give a short sermon. Now, don't build yourselves up in hope. But his sermon was a very short sermon, usually, when he became an old man. And it was just a few words. And he said, "Little children, love one another." And then they would take him back to his seat. And they would think about what he'd said. What great words, aren't they? "Little children, love one another." When Pastor Phil made this suggestion to me about saying something from 1 John, I thought, well, it's a long time since I preached on 1 John. And then when I read it again, I repented. High time that I did. What a beautiful, beautiful letter it is. I would like to take time to read it all with you today, but time forbids. So we're going to come to what somebody has called the very height, the very best part of the letter, where John expresses the most beautiful of his thoughts. And it's 1 John, the first letter of John, if you want to follow it with me. Not John's Gospel, the first letter of John. And it's chapter 4, and it's verse 7. And we'll just listen as I read it with you this morning, and then we'll think a little bit about it. John's heart is a heart that is full of love for them. So you have to hear not only the words, but you have to hear the love, all right? Are you ready to hear the love? And for hearing the love, you have to open your heart and be ready to receive the love. That's what this letter is about. And so he begins, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how God's love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. Let us pray together. Lord, this is a wonderful part of your wonderful word. Help us to see fresh and living, loving truth in it for ourselves today and for the fellowship of this church. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So love one another. Are you all hearing me okay? Can I just ease it down a tiny bit, Lily? Because it's going to bash my nose and I don't want... I once had a nosebleed at the International Church in Bishkek years ago. Is that all right? Tighten it up now. That'll be fine. That's better. Sorry to be such a nuisance. That's great. I think that's better for me. I want to share five things with you about this passage. They're all about love. Okay? And the first one is to simply say this: the root of love. The root of love. R-O-O-T. As in plants. Okay? The root of love. Where it really comes from. I had another picture in my mind, and the picture was of a reservoir up in the mountains that will be the starting off point for the water that will flow into your tap so that you can drink and cook your carrots or whatever it is you do with water. From the heights somewhere, down through all the channels, to where you can use it and take it up. The root, the foundation, the start of love, where is it? Well, of course, John says it very, very clearly in verses 7 and 8. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. That is just about the most profound statement that is made anywhere in the Bible. God in himself is love. Now, you know about the Trinity, don't you? And so in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, there is a constant relationship of love. They relate to each other in a beautiful way, and some of the best theologians have thought of God in himself as having a kind of divine movement of constant outgoing and incoming love. Now, this is a very bad illustration. Will you forgive me for a bad illustration? Because it can never be adequate to get to this. But in Scotland, you knew I would have a reference to Scotland somewhere. In Scotland, we do a lot of dancing. In lots of cultures, you do dancing. But nobody dances like Scottish people. You understand? One of our dances has a sort of three-person movement. It is, the dance is called the Dashing White Sergeant. How it got that name, I haven't a clue. But it has that as its name. And the three people dance together, and they move around each other and hand to hand to each other in a movement like so. You dance to your partner, that's called setting, to your partner. And then you imagine a person standing there, you turn them around, and you come back, and you set to the third person. I don't want to embarrass you. But you set around like that, and you come back to the middle, and you link hands. And it's a very happy part of the dance. You can understand that, can't you? Even in my bad illustration. There is a movement of constant joy and delight and happiness and love in God. Do you see that? God is love. Out of that vibrant, tender, exquisitely kind godness of God, that is the root from which it comes to us, love. It is from God, who is love. Dear brothers and sisters, what is your picture of God? Do you have a very severe picture of God? Oh, I know God is a holy God. We need to know that. Sometimes we need to be reminded about that very firmly. Do you have in your mind that God is a very angry God? where the Bible does speak about the anger of God. It is there. Do you think of God as far away and removed from you, distant, high and lifted up? Well, of course, yes. There are times when we need to be reminded about how great and high God is. All of these things can be true in their sense about God. But the key thing, brothers and sisters, the thing which overrides all these other definitions and understandings of God is this. And without this, you'll never get going in the Christian life. Never. Beyond all of these things, there is the idea that John expresses here, that God is love. Put it slightly different way, God is happy. He's a delightful God. He's a joyful God. He loves to give and share kindness and love to the ends of the earth. His heart that beats towards you today is the heart of the Father. In the story of the prodigal son, you remember that story where the father, in his tender love, runs to his son who has run away and embraces him and holds him to himself. Get a ring for his finger and shoes for his feet and a robe for his shoulders and kill the fatted calf because we must celebrate. That's the heart of the Father. The root of God's love is God himself. Point number one. Second point. The demonstration of love is in the cross of Christ. Very early on in the history of the Church of Bishkek, we were glad to see it here today. The demonstration of the love of God. John puts it ever so clearly here. Let me remind you of it. He puts it in such a lovely way. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and gave himself, gave his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. The root of love is God himself, the demonstration of love. How he shows it. It's not through a dance, even the dashing white sergeant. No. How he shows it to us is by sending his Son to Bethlehem and Nazareth and then Jerusalem to die for us on the cross. That is how God shows his love for us. We talk about loving God, John says, but that's not what matters. The thing that matters is not my love for God. The thing that matters is his love for me and for you. And it's shown forever on the cross. Will you take a moment to allow your thoughts to go to Calvary, to hear again the nails being beaten into the hands of our Savior? and imagine them taking that terrible cross and thumping it into the ground. Why? You say, why such a thing? Here's the answer. Because God loves you. The demonstration of love is in the cross of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Number three. Wow, we are getting through it, aren't we? Number three. Number three today. The completion of love. Would you listen to this again? Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God... Oh, listen, this is amazing. This is amazing. This is so amazing that some of the scholars haven't wanted to believe it and tried to explain it away. This is so amazing. Listen to it. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us. And his love is made complete in us. In us. Who are the us? That's the church of Jesus, isn't it? The church of Jesus, locally, in one place, and universally, everywhere. Locally. We're going to think of it locally today for just a moment. Listen to what John is saying. He's saying the love of God, which is in God himself and is demonstrated forever in the cross and resurrection of his Son, that this love finds its fulfillment, its completion. We were up at Issaquah just this week. And, you know, one of the most beautiful things that we saw was not the mountains, though they are wonderful, not the lake, although that is beautiful too, but in the place we were staying, there were these wonderful roses. They were rooted into the ground, they were well watered, they were well looked after, they had been well pruned, and now their life was being completed in the beautiful petals of all kinds of colors by the pathway at the particular hotel where we stay. The whole function of the plant was fulfilled in the flowering by the side of the pathway. It was quite breathtaking, I tell you, to just stand and look at some of them. Breathtaking. Now, God's idea of the church is, come in, friends, and find a seat. Don't be standing at the back. There's lots here. People laugh about me, and they say he was always telling people to come to the front. That's because I wanted everybody to be part of it and to be excited by it. So come away in, find a seat. That's great, you could come. Are you all right? You're fine? Okay. The completion. Now, the idea of this is that God wants to show the glory of his beautiful love. How? Where? He wants to show it here. How? By the way that you and I love one another. Got it? How it's going to work, how this rose is going to flourish, how it's going to really fulfill its purpose is right here. As you and I and you together love one another. As you are kind to each other, as you think of each other, as you pray for each other, as you give to each other, as you stop fighting with each other, stop being jealous of each other, think the best of each other, as all of these things happen in the living fellowship of Jesus, the beautiful flower of God's love will be seen in the world, so that people will come by Bishkek International Church and they will say, wow, look what God made them. Now, John was the pastor of that church. And as he wrote that, there were two things, I think, in his heart. One was, God has done it. God has done it. I've seen the beauty of Jesus in my people. I have. Phil has. We have seen the beauty of God in his people. Praise his name. The completion of God's loving work. But the other thing would be, I'd like it to see it more. I'd like to see it more. More fulfilled until the glory comes. The completion of love. For the power of love. Listen to this. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us his Spirit. And we've seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. The power of love. The power of love, let me just say, to give one thing. There is more than one thing in the text, but just to give you one thing. When you go to bed, have you ever felt very tired? One of the lovely things that you can do in a good bed is to lie on your back. I can't demonstrate it because I would never get up again. Is to lie on your back, let your head rest on the pillow, your shoulders on the mattress, your arms limp by your side resting there, your legs stretched out straight in front of you, your whole body resting in to the mattress, and you slip off to sleep. Wake up! You were nearly all asleep. You slip off to sleep. Oh, rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him, and he will give you the desires of your heart. This is the confidence of love, that we can rest our whole being into him. That's number four. And number five is very easy and very short. It goes back to the beginning. Dear friends, let's do it. That's it. Dear friends, let's do it. A prayer now. Lord, this is a wonderful part of your word. Help us to feed in it by faith and ourselves find rest in our Lord Jesus Christ and his love. So glorify your name through us, and in particular, Lord, through this church. Make her a completion of your purpose in beautiful lives and a beautiful life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.